IT, I gave you three pages. I just posted them. These are the, I want to open up with these. We've read these three pages before from two different books, but I want to open up with the, and why do I look so short? Oh, you're just gigantic next to me. The hell is this? IT, can we put up the pages? The first one, please. All right, can I see the title of the book? Move this, there's a bar at the top. Can you X out that bar? Yeah. All right, this is from a book entitled Diaspora Themes. Can we read the highlighted area? Yes, who's sir. Reading for me?
Captain Uri, sir.
Captain Uri?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Rabbinic literature almost totally ignores the vast Western diaspora that existed at the time. This is particularly noticeable compared with the relatively large number of places in this diaspora mentioned in chapter 2 of Acts and in the chapters describing the journeys of Paul, Acts chapter 13, as well as in the Pauline epistles, which give a comprehensive picture of the geography of the Western Jewish Greek speaking diaspora in the first century CE.
So this Jewish Greek speaking diaspora were the ones over around Asia Minor. A lot of times you'll read the Bible about Asia Minor, you'll go, oh, everybody speaks Hebrew. No, they were Greek speaking. Paul was born in Tarsus, okay? They were Greek speaking. His father sent him to Jerusalem to learn Hebrew and become a scholar in the scriptures. But they were Greek speaking initially. Everybody understand that, right? All right, give me the next page of the next book. Bottom area, highlight it. Raise it up, raise it up. Okay.
The results of Paul's teachings. It is not what happened to Paul personally that is important, but rather what happened to Paul's teachings. Even while he lived, ample evidence proves that the people to whom he preached had misunderstood him. He had spoken in terms of high and noble idealism, of charity, of personal righteousness. He urged men to believe in Jesus firmly and, believing in so perfect an example of godly living, begin to lead a godly life themselves. Such righteous people could have no difficulty in meeting the awful day of God's judgment. They would surely survive it. And when the day of resurrection came, such people would surely be permitted to live again and forever. But most of the people who listened to Paul remembered only the connection between believing in Jesus and meriting God's mercy and ultimate resurrection.
That's the church today. Believe in Jesus and mercy. That's all they think of or talk about. Go ahead.
They skipped the middle step.
Let's see what the middle step was that they skipped. Go ahead.
The need to live godly lives.
The need to keep the commandments. Everybody skips that part. Go ahead.
Thus, faith in Jesus came to be the only and entire basis of the religion adopted by the pagan Christians.
Pagan Christians, good.
While the Judeo-Christians who lived in Palestine continued to observe Jewish law. Mm-hmm. But it was the pagan Christian attitude which won in the end.
See who won? Good.
Many pagans who admired Judaism, either openly or secretly, now had a chance to adopt a form of Judaism which appealed to them. It is not at all strange that Christianity spread most easily and rapidly in those cities in which Jews had lived for a long time.
So Christianity spread worldwide because it was a pagan religion. No commandments, just believe in Jesus and mercy. That everybody understand that, right? Now, these are what the scholars put together, and I find it very interesting because today most people don't even understand this. They don't understand this. Let's open up with Colossians chapter 2, Captain Uri.
Yes, sir.
And do not read fast.
Yes, sir.
Colossians, let me get it. Colossians chapter 2. And the reason I wanted to touch on Colossians, I just came from San Diego, L.A., I've been hearing some wacky, tacky breakdowns going on out there. So it got to be stopped. So we're going to go through it somewhat slowly and gain some understanding. Read verse 1.
The book of Colossians, chapter 2, and verse 1. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, And for them at Laodicea.
Laodicea is in Asia Minor. Go ahead.
And for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh.
Now you see that part right there? And as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. When you read the book of Acts, it's not written specifically that Paul went to Laodicea. He did go to Asia Minor, but it does not specifically say he went to Laodicea. Get Colossians 4:13. But one of his companions did go. Watch this.
Colossians chapter 4.
Let's start at verse 12.
In verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis.
Right, so his companion in the truth in the gospel, his fellow soldier, Epaphras, was of Laodicea, was going back and forth. IT, is something going on with the images? I see a screen out here in the front of me, so I don't know what's going on. I see two screens out. Okay. Let's go back, Captain Yuri.
Yes, sir. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 1. Mm-hmm. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh.
Can we look, pull up the map of IT? I'm going to send it to you. I didn't send it to Captain OC. That's my fault. I do want to show y'all this map of Asia Minor. I sent an easier one. Hey, Bishop, can I say, what is this screen here? What is this? What they want to show, but it's not being seen? Okay, so put the map on the screen, IT. Okay. You see on the left, Yuri, can you read those names?
Yes, sir. Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Smyrna, Philadelphia, Ephesus, Laodicea.
Now you see between Ephesus, there's a river that splits from Ephesus, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. So Epaphras, his fellow soldier, is the one that was dealing with Laodicea directly. It specifically says he's from there. Everybody understand that, right? Okay. Let's go back. Can we see the images of Paul and the ships? Because I haven't seen any of that yet. It's like I wasted all this time, and IT has not shown anything. Where's Paul in the ships? Okay, there's one. It should be about three. Okay. So Paul had a group of fellow soldiers that was about the work. Not being pressured, they was about God's business. Oh, we got a video there too. See, I didn't know none of this. We can't hear nothing, but I don't know if there's sound on this or not. Start it over with sound, IT. Come on now. Oh, God. All praises, all praises. Captain Yuri, what verse we at? What verse we at?
We at verse 2 now?
Yes, sir.
Verse 2, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ.
Let's read that again.
That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love.
That's how all of us are to be. Our hearts, our minds are to be knit together. Get that in Judges 2:11. Judges chapter 2, verse 11. In this truth, we have to learn to work together. All nations do it. If you notice, it's only blacks and Latinos that don't work together. Mainly black people. Always got an issue. Always got a problem. Read that, Yuri.
Judges chapter 2, verse 11. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the people that were round about them.
Did I give the wrong scripture? 20. I gave the wrong scripture. Bear with me. Where we going? 20:11. Thank you.
Judges.
I wrote it wrong. My fault.
Judges chapter 20, verse 11. So all the men of Israel were gathered against the city, knit together as one man.
That's what I wanted. Thank you so much. That's the one I wanted. Read it again one more time.
So all the men of Israel were gathered against the city, knit together as one man.
Knit together as one man, one mind. All nations work together. Chinese work together with Chinese. East Indians work together with East Indians. Arabs work together with Arabs. White folks work together with white folks. It's only dumb blacks and Latinos. We cannot get it together. But only the word of God can knit us together as one man. Romans 12 and 10. Romans 12 and 10. You get mad if you want. I don't care. You know it's true. That's why we don't have a community. When you look at the Chinese community, they got Chinese hospitals, Chinese supermarkets. They got all that stuff. But black community, no, we got to go to the white communities to go to the hospitals, grocery stores, which we don't own. So don't tell me you have a community. No, you don't.
That's
they got Chinese
right.
banks in Chinatown. There ain't no black banks around here. Read that.
Romans chapter 12 and verse 10.
So when we say we got a community, you're lying to yourself. You're lying to the people. You don't. We don't have a community. We don't. It's just BS. Come on.
Be kindly affectioned one to another.
Be kindly affectioned one to another.
With brotherly love.
With what?
Brotherly love.
That's our hearts being knit together as one man. Good.
In honor.
In honor. You could. Yes. Thank you, IT. Good.
Preferring one another.
That right there. In honor, preferring one another. That's our problem. You have a black store. They sell ice. This is from Carter G. Woodson. Black store, they sell ice. White man will open up an ice store right next door. Guess what black people going to go buy their ice? From the white man. Say, white man ice is colder. That's what we do. That's what we do. In Chicago, black barbershops, Chinese barbershops. Guess what we do? I'm going to the Chinese barbershop. Because they give better haircuts. That read it again, Captain Yuri. Listen.
Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor.
In honor. That's the word we don't understand. In honor. When you go outside and ask black men and black women to explain honor. You got the pimps and the hoochie mamas trying to explain. They have no honor. We have never been taught honor as a race, as a people. Never. And when we try to teach it, it's hate speech. Why are you telling them to cover their behinds up? Why are you telling them to put down the guns? Why are you telling them that? Let them do them. They don't do that with no other race but our race. Read that again, Yuri. I'm sorry.
Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another.
In honor preferring one another. You hear, I prefer the white man. You hear black women say that. Or black men, I prefer being with the white woman. Why? Because we've never learned honor. Can we look up the word honor, IT? Look up the word honor. Honor. H-O-N-O-R. I know they got the English spelling with the U in it. O-R, come on, IT, don't take long to spell that word. Read that.
Honor refers to the moral principle of integrity, fairness, and respectability, or a tangible symbol of distinction, such as an award, privilege, or title. Mm. The term encompasses both a personal ethos and the public esteem in which a person is held.
Can we raise it up? Raise it up. Read that first one.
Number one, moral and personal meaning, character and integrity, high moral standards.
High moral standards. Blacks and Latinos do not understand what high moral standards are. Why can't I show my cleavage? Why can't I show the crack of my booty? What's wrong with that? Why can't I show my stomach? What's wrong with that? And why always the fat women always want to show their behind, show their stomach? Y'all don't see out there? You don't see that? It's like, no, put it back. Come on, Yuri.
high moral standards, honesty, and a guiding code of conduct.
A guiding code of conduct. We try to teach them the commandments. No, leave them alone. That's hate speech. They only do that with our race. That was it. Okay, go back, Yuri.
Yes, sir. Romans chapter 12, verse 10.
No, did you read the whole verse?
Yes, sir.
All right, go back to Colossians 2.
Colossians chapter 2 and verse 2. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love.
Now, let's look up. Give me that 2 John verse 6, because some of you may be new. Knit together in love. It's not talking about rubbing each other's back. It's not talking about putting lotion on each other's feet. It ain't talking about that. Get that in 2 John verse 6.
2 John verse 6. And this is love.
This is love.
That we walk after his commandments.
That's the love. Go ahead.
This is the commandment that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it.
Now go back to Colossians 2. Now we understand the context of love in the Bible. Walking after God's commandments. Read it.
Colossians chapter 2 verse 2. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love.
That's that in honor, preferring one another. In love, keeping God's commandments. Go ahead. Word.
And unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, mm-hmm. to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ.
You see that part? To the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. That goes back to the chapter before. Colossians 1:26. Start at 25 to 28. Let's read that. To explain the mystery that's mentioned in Colossians 2, verse 2. Okay.
Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God.
Start at 24.
Verse 24. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church.
Paul caught a lot of afflictions for getting his gospel out. He's going to explain what he's talking about. Good.
Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you.
For you Colossians, good.
To fulfill the word of God. Mm-hmm. Even the mystery.
Here comes even the mystery.
Which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints.
See that? But now is made manifest to his saints. Yuri, saints in Psalms 148, please. Psalms 148. His saints. A lot of times when you pull up these keywords, it'll shut Christians down. Okay?
Psalms chapter 148, verse 14. He also exalted the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel.
So the saints are the children of Israel. Get Psalms 50 and 5 as a follow-up.
Psalms chapter 50 and verse 5. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice.
Read the verse above it.
Verse 4, he shall call to the heavens from above.
That's the angels. He shall call to the heavens from above.
And to the earth.
And to the earth, that's the prophets. What is the message to the angels and to the prophets? Good.
That he may judge his people.
Here comes.
Gather my saints together unto me.
So when the angels come, they're only gathering the saints. They're not gathering all races on the planet.
That's right.
They're only gathering the saints. Good.
Those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice.
So the angels and the prophets are only looking for Israelites. Those that made a covenant with God by sacrifice. So that's not all races on the planet. That's not the Edomites. That's not the Philistines. That's not the Ishmaelites. That's not the Moabites. Only Israel. Was that it, Captain Yurik? I ain't looking at it.
Yes, sir.
Go back to Colossians.
Colossians chapter 1, verse 26. Mm-hmm. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, mm-hmm. to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles.
Now you get to that word and they go, ooh, we got you there. No, you ain't got nobody. Get Matthew 4:15 to explain the Gentiles.
The book of Matthew, chapter 4, verse 15. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles.
Galilee of the Gentiles. That's what they call Zebulun and Naphtali. So these Gentiles that the mystery is regarding, it's not all races. Okay, here's another one, Isaiah 11 and 10.
Message.
Here's a follow-up. In case that ain't good enough for you. Read that.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 11 and verse 10.
Mm-hmm.
And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people.
That root of Jesse is Christ. Go ahead.
To it shall the Gentiles seek.
To it shall the Gentiles seek. So the subject is Gentiles here. We want to see who these Gentiles are. Go ahead.
And his rest shall be glorious.
Mm-hmm.
And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people.
So these Gentiles are the remnant of the Lord's people. Go ahead.
Which shall be left from Assyria.
That's modern day Turkey.
And from Egypt.
Uh-huh.
And from Patros.
That's Sudan.
And from Cush.
Ethiopia.
And from Elam.
That's Persia. Go ahead.
And from Shinar.
That's Iraq.
And from Hamath.
That's Syria.
And from the islands of the sea.
And from the islands of the sea. But let's get more specific. Who are these Gentiles, the remnant of the Lord's people? Go ahead.
And he shall set up an ensign for the nations and shall assemble the outcast of Israel.
So these Gentiles are the outcasts of Israel. Go ahead.
And gather together the dispersed of Judah.
The dispersed of Judah.
From the four corners of the earth.
From the four corners of the earth. Now you might be saying, but blacks and Latinos don't get along too much. Well, read the next verse. If they want salvation, I don't care how much you don't like each other in California, God don't give a damn. Read the next verse.
The envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off.
Why?
Ephraim shall not envy Judah.
Ephraim shall not envy Judah. That's dealing with hatred. Go ahead.
And Judah shall not vex Ephraim.
And Judah shall not hate Ephraim. So that's what that. Get that, Leviticus 19, 17. Here's what that's talking about. What is that talking about?
Leviticus chapter 19, verse 17. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people.
Mm-hmm.
But thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
Mm-hmm.
I am the Lord.
See that? Love your neighbor as you love yourself, which are the children of your people. That's the children of your race. That word people, children of your people, translates to race. R-A-C-E. You ain't never been taught that in church. Read that part again, Captain Yuri.
Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people.
The children of your people is not the Chinese. The children of your people is not the white man. The children of your people are not Arabs. Read it again.
Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
Uh-huh.
I am the Lord.
So the children of your people are the children of your race. We've never been taught that. We will love the white man before we love each other. We will love Chinese. Did I say Chinese already? The Arabs before we love each other. We will love any other race first. Here's another example. Chinese man just shot a little black boy in the back. Killed him. He got off. What black women do? We're going to go shop at the Chinese stores. Why? Because you prefer other races to your race. You don't give a damn if your sons and daughters get killed.
That's right.
As long as you can get that fake hair, the fake press-on nails, the stupid makeup, that's all you care about. To hell that little nigga got shot in the back. He would probably be doing something here. They said he had a gun, found no gun. And we're going to go shop at the Chinese store. To hell with them. That's why they look at us and go, you are bigger dummy. Yeah, you dumber niggas. Yeah, come on by. We shoot at your sons and daughters. I'm confused. Yuri, where we at?
We go back to Colossians, sir?
Yes, sir. Let's go on back. Sometimes you got to reel me back in, Cat, because I'll go on a tangent.
Yes, sir. Bishop.
What verse are we at now? And IT, please keep up with the conversation.
Colossians chapter 1, verse 27.
No, Colossians 2.
Yes, sir. Colossians chapter 2 and
no,
verse.
No, we didn't finish 27?
No, sir.
Okay, read that again.
Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles.
Now we know the Gentiles are the Israelites, outcasts of Israel and the dispersed of Judah. Go ahead.
Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Go ahead.
Whom we preach, warning every man
of the children of Israel,
and teaching every man in all wisdom
of the children of Israel,
that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus.
And of the children of Israel. Go ahead.
Whereunto I also labor.
That's what Paul was laboring for. That's why he was getting afflicted for that. Go ahead.
Striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily.
Now back to chapter 2 and verse 3.
Colossians chapter 2, verse 3. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge.
So in the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Give me 1 Corinthians 2 and 5.
First Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 5. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men.
Don't let your faith, brothers and sisters, stand in the wisdom of men. Brothers or sisters that speak very well. They speak with six-syllable words. They speak from the poets and philosophers. Read that again.
That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God.
When it talks about the power of God, that's the word of God, because that's the power. Go ahead.
Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world.
Yet, we don't speak the wisdom of this world. The wisdom of this world says, give us reparations, it'll solve all our problems. You know how many black people, a lot of black people hit lotto, and they have accomplished zero. Zero. Go ahead.
Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world.
The princes of this world are the nations, go ahead.
That come to naught.
That come to naught. Go ahead.
But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery.
We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Go ahead.
Even the hidden wisdom.
We speak the hidden wisdom because the world don't know it. What we're saying, it seems so unheard of. What are you saying? It's only for the Israelites. What do you mean that Christ is black and we're all going to rule the world? What do you mean it's about gathering the 12 tribes back together? No, it can't be. It's hidden. Go ahead.
Which God ordained before the world unto our glory.
See, that all that understanding was ordained before of God for our glory. Go ahead.
Which none of the princes of this world knew.
Which none of the princes of this world knew. Go ahead.
For had they known it,
if they known it,
they would not have crucified.